Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook at the Lodge Casino. Coming soon, here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. It is Schlereth and Evans, Mike Evans, alongside Nate Jackson, who is sitting in for Mark, who is off today. Did I hear it's Mark's birthday today? Ah, happy birthday, Stink.
Papa Gijo.
Wonder how he's celebrating.
He didn't want to come in here and spend his birthday
maybe,
with you?
Maybe he's celebrating his birthday getting another surgery.
That's a good way to celebrate.
The gift that just keeps on giving. Mark Schlereth and surgeries. No, we don't know. We'll find out what it was all about. But happy birthday. Sincere happy birthday to our pal Mark Schlereth, who will be back tomorrow. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. Always appreciate the guys who come in to fill in this early. That's not easy.
Well, you know, it's become a good thing in my family because I get to sleep in the basement when this happens. So because my kid is still a little skittish when it comes to sleeping at night. So my wife says, go down in the basement, get yourself a nice night's sleep. You got to be on your game tomorrow morning.
Right.
So I had a full night's sleep
there
by myself.
And you're like, no, honey.
Yeah.
No,
are you
really?
Sure?
Are you sure? Okay. All right. Begrudgingly, you stomp downstairs.
I don't like it down
here. You're like,
woohoo. Yeah. I closed my eyes and just boop, popped them open, and it was 4:06. I set my alarm for 4:15.
Okay.
I woke up naturally.
So you were eager.
Eager.
Couldn't wait.
Man, I skipped into the bathroom, brushed my teeth. I've been outside for 2 hours, man.
Meet the day.
I'm ready
for
this.
Let's do it. Well, is this a Bronco fan's nightmare? Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs versus Tom Brady?
I think Bronco fans secretly like it. I think they like to watch Patrick.
Really?
Yeah, because.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a guilty
pleasure
thing. That I can't admit to?
And there's this thing where it's like, okay. If someone's got to do it, it might as well be the ones we couldn't beat, because no one could beat them. The ones we have, but it is a bad omen going forward. These are guys you're going to have to run through the rest of your Bronco lives. Tom Brady, yeah, that one hurts. But hey, he's not in a Patriots uniform.
And I wonder, does that make him more rootable?
Yeah, I think so.
Now,
yeah, because this is the Belichick, McDaniels, you know, Legion of Doom or whatever,
right?
So, yeah, I think Tampa – I actually was looking for – I was rooting for Tampa Bay in my own way.
Yeah, I was too.
I think it's a good story. I like to see this this happening.
And nothing against Aaron Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers. But, yeah, there's just something about what Brady's doing that's just – this is beyond fascinating now. 10 Super Bowls. 10 Super Bowls.
That's incredible.
And he – first year he leaves – Papa Belichick, and he just keeps right on doing it.
Yeah, now
keeps
we know.
Right on rolling.
Now we know who.
Now we know.
Who's the architect over
now
there?
Now we know.
Hey, you never know. Belichick might have something up his
absolutely
his cutoff sleeves.
Well, maybe he gets the last laugh long term.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
Right now, it doesn't look good.
No. And do you think he really wants to stick around to build it all the way back up?
Well. Knowing how wise guys like me are always perched and ready to pop off and say, see, you couldn't win without Brady.
Yeah.
Shanahan, you couldn't win without Elway.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you always have wise guys like us who are prepared to pounce on that. So, and it is true. I mean, there is a direct link right now that he has to prove that he can win without Tom Brady. So I don't think he's going to go quietly into that good night.
Well, they're getting Matt Patricia back.
Yes.
So that's a big piece. They got McDaniels. They got Patricia. Looks like McDaniels won't be taking a head coaching position again this year, which is probably the smart move for the vacant teams.
Probably.
So, hey, they'll have the whole band back together.
I want to throw that question out right away on the RonaldSlot.com text line 303-713-1043. You kind of stunned me right off the bat. I'm kind of wobbled right now. I'm kind of like Conor McGregor the other day. Like, whoa, this isn't going the way I thought it was going to go. Nate, folks, says that secretly you enjoy watching Patrick Mahomes.
You guys do.
Your thoughts on that? RamosLaw.com text line. Here's one that was waiting for us before we even started. It came in at 5:35 this morning, so somebody was clearly even more up and ready than you were. Not going to listen to you guys slob over cheating-ass Brady or mini Mahomes today.
Wow.
I won't be watching this circus. I'm cleaning that up. The NFL has set up. I hope Brady goes down, though. He needs to get his. There's players that have done it right and have almost died having their careers ended. And some POS cheating Brady is lucky.
Wow.
For 20 years.
So lucky.
He's been propped up via the NFL and cheated.
Well, there you go.
So he cheated this year, too.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
He cheats every day of his life.
It's going to come out again after the fact that Bruce Arians has been filming people. Is that what we're going to?
That's right.
We're going to get?
The locker rooms are mic'd up.
Right.
Tom Brady's just real good at what he does, guys. And have you ever seen him sweat?
I love Tom Brady. No, I've never seen him sweat.
There's an argument, like, how can he become the best athlete, best football player ever, and never, ever, ever have a sweat during a game? He just kind of slides and throws, and he's just very calm.
Yeah.
Always breathing through his nose.
Crazy calm.
It's crazy.
Must be that whole TB12 method.
Yeah.
He just does it so he doesn't
There's
sweat.
There's something to it, man. Don't eat tomatoes.
Avocado ice cream.
He's got something going on.
So here's a texter. I secretly root for Mahomes, but I hate Kansas City. Mahomes is so fun to watch.
There you go.
Wow. The good part about Brady and Mahomes being in the Super Bowl is the fact that we're all going to watch one of them lose. Okay, there is. I guess there's that.
Absolutely.
There's that. There's one way left. That. Now, that's an optimist's view. Another one. No. I detest Tom Brady. Now we have to listen to all you sycophants slobber all over him. Sycophants. You're crazy, Nate. This is the worst possible Super Bowl for a Broncos fan.
Really?
Nate couldn't be more wrong. Hate both. This stinks. Bring on the draft. Speaking of the draft, by the way, Cecil Lammy, our pal Cecil Lammy, is in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, right now.
For the Senior Bowl. So we'll get a chance to listen to what Cecil Lammy has to say later this morning when he joins us from Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
We know
I've seen a lot of quarterbacks without their shirt on.
Of course, we know how Nate feels about Cecil Lammy.
I love Cecil.
Do you?
Don't listen to Cecil Lammy.
And that song was actually about playing the Chiefs.
Yes, it was.
And it was about
pressuring.
Yeah, blitz. Not blitzing. Cecil said nobody blitzes the Chiefs. You cannot win by blitzing the Chiefs. So I think Tampa Bay is going to blitz the Chiefs, and we'll see if they win.
Here's one. Secretly enjoy it. Nate, you're an idiot. No, we don't enjoy it. The only way I'm going to be happy is if they both lose.
Hey, fingers crossed.
All right. A little mixture right there.
There was a couple.
There was a little bit.
80-20 maybe.
Well, I said this last week. I said I really have a hard time hating Mahomes. I don't have a hard time hating the Chiefs, but I like Mahomes. I like watching him play.
Yeah.
I do like watching him play. I'm not going to lie. I like watching him play. Well,
I mean, it speaks volumes to his team
and
like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena.
This is contractually obligated.
Phenomena.
Anytime we say something nice, we have to try to dehumanize him a little bit.
Hey, guys. Get back in the huddle.
Well, coming up. Yeah, Mahomes. More proof. He's the boogeyman. He's not going anywhere. So what should be the Broncos' plan at quarterback to combat Mahomes and the Chiefs? Could the answer be Matthew Stafford? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook at the Lodge Casino. Coming soon. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Stafford turns, makes the give to Peterson, sets deep in the pocket, throws deep right side, wants Marvin Jones, got him! Inside the five, to the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions! Okay, here we go. Tony! Nate Jackson in for Stink, who's off today. Happy birthday, by the way, to our pal Stink. He'll be back tomorrow. All right, Matthew Stafford. All last week it was about Deshaun Watson, and I suppose that's still potentially in play. But what is definitely, you know, imminent and probably maybe more within the possibility, the realm for the Broncos to do something, is a trade for Matthew Stafford. Would you do it?
I'd inquire. I sure would. I think he's the type of player who could help this franchise immediately. Who could allow Vic Fangio to focus on the defense, which is what he does best. This Broncos offense is really young, and hey, they need some leadership out there, you know? And Drew Lock, although they're growing together and doing these things together and becoming a better offensive unit with Drew Lock, I think Matt Stafford could just offer the type of wisdom that would really help these young players. Question is, what do you got to give up for it? How many teams are coming at the Lions right now? With more capital than the Broncos, so I'm sure George Payton's making that call, but who knows what's going to happen.
Well, would you give up the ninth pick for him?
No, I don't think I would. I would give up maybe a first round next year, maybe a second round this year, and throw in Brandon McManus, and then I think we're cooking.
You always include McManus in every deal.
Well, call me old school, you know, but I just like it when my kickers just kick.
You are talking about our best offensive weapon, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem, right?
When you have that kind of weight, you probably get a chance to flex it every once in a while.
Yeah. No, but I think Stafford would make this team better immediately. And although he has had some injury issues, he's been incredibly successful. Just statistically.
I broke my back.
He threw 4,000 yards, 7 straight years. That's a lot of yards.
Yeah, starting in 2011, yeah, he went 5,000, 5,000, 4,600, 4,300, 4,300, 4,300, 4,500. Yeah, and even this year, and then this year for a bad Lions team, he threw 4,100. 26 touchdowns and 10 picks. So he is, he's been in the league now, what is it, 11 years? I think it is 11 years, and he will be 30, let's see, how old is he going to be?
He's 32 now.
He's going to be 33 next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're watching Brady, we're watching Rodgers. Let's face it, you know, you take any kind of care of yourself now as a quarterback, 33 is young. 33, you're in your prime. 33, you should have 4 to 5 good years left in you.
Well, that's if you play like Brady and you play like Breeze. You slide in the pocket, get rid of the ball. You never take a hit. Matt Stafford has a tendency to run around trying to make some things happen from time to time. He is a really smart guy who can get rid of the ball very quickly, but he also does take some shots. So hopefully he realizes he's on the wrong end of 30 and he starts, you know, getting rid of that ball. Phillip Rivers played 252 straight games because he's not the most athletic guy out there, probably the least, but he just gets rid of the ball. And that's what Stafford needs to do. And if he doesn't come here, that's what Drew Lock needs to do.
Well, he's 74-90-1 as a starting quarterback. And I found it interesting when I started hearing a reaction to the idea of trading for Stafford. And the biggest detractors against Stafford is, well, I mean, he never won in Detroit. True. But yet I hear people willing to give up the farm for Deshaun Watson, who went 4-12.
Your base is stew out of me.
And for, why is it with Watson? It's, well, this and that and Bill O'Brien and bad personnel moves and all these excuses, but with Matthew Stafford, it's like, well, he can't lift him. It's his fault. I like Stafford. I think the thing about Stafford is that, and I know Mark loves him, by the way. Mark would do this in a heartbeat. I'll just speak for Mark right now. Mark,
I like you a lot.
Mark would do this in a heartbeat. I will say last year he got hurt midway through the season. At that point, he was one of the top three or four MVP candidates in the league at the time. So it's there. I'd do it.
What would you give up?
You know, in a perfect world, I would trade back in the first round so that the pick I'm giving, because I think it's going to take a first rounder to get him. I really do.
A first rounder.
I think you'd
this
have
year.
To give up a first rounder this year.
Yeah.
Because if you're Detroit, what? How do you?
And they can take whichever offer they want.
Yeah. How do you sell off? How do you sell this move to your fan base if you say, hey, yeah, we're trading a guy that's been synonymous with our franchise for a decade, but you're gonna have to wait for a year for that first round pick. We got a second round pick this year. I think you're gonna have to give up the first round pick this year. In a perfect world, you trade back, maybe accumulate a little bit more capital, and you trade the 19th pick. Mm. But I think it would take the 9th pick. And you know what? I do it. You know, because contrary to popular belief out there, I don't mind investing in a quarterback. I just hate the idea of just taking a flyer on a quarterback, especially, you know, high up in the first round. And I think that's what too many teams do today. I don't think there's a whole lot of conviction when these quarterbacks are drafted. I think there's a lot of hoping. And a guy like Stafford, he is a proven quarterback. There's a resume there. There's something that there's numbers to back up what he can do. There's the eye test to back up what he can do. And, you know, you bring him here with what you've got on this offense. I think he can give you an immediate boost. And the other thing, too, is that it's not like you're completely giving up on Drew Lock in that situation, because Lock's still under contract for two more years, Nate. And he'd have a chance to sit and learn behind Stafford. And then in a couple of years when Stafford's deal is up, hey, if Stafford has come in here and he's been okay, but he hasn't lit the town on fire, and in the meantime you've seen development from Lock, maybe then you can make that transition a lot. If Stafford comes in here and he lights it up and he's clearly got a lot of football and this has been a great move, then you could even hold on to Lock. Maybe re-sign him. I mean, it's not like he'd be, you know, going for a lot of money after his first deal. Maybe you could trade him, or you just let him go, because at that point you got a quarterback who's still at that point only what, 34, 35 years old, who's still playing really well. I the way I look at it is this. I know everybody's wanting to try to find their guy for the next 15 years. Okay, that'd be nice. But I think realistically, I think of the NFL in terms of 3 to 5 year windows. And the Peyton Manning window worked out very well, didn't it? Anybody going to turn their back on that? Anybody going to say, well, that wasn't worth it because it only lasted for a handful of years? Of course not. So if you're talking about trying to make this work and thinking it could work for 3 to 5 years, I'd do it.
Yeah, and I don't think this coaching staff for the Broncos really wants to develop a rookie quarterback right now. I think these guys are old-timers. They know what they like. They don't want to start from square one with a young guy, in my opinion. So I think it makes sense for them to go after a veteran like Stafford. For Drew Lock, you know, as much as I want him to work, I think sitting for a while might help him. And there's always a likelihood that Matt Stafford or whoever comes in gets hurt, and then you need a capable backup to go in and win, and I think Drew Lock would be that. But, hey, there's going to be probably 10 teams offering the Lions something for this guy.
Coming up, we got the Morning Brew. And by the way, I was just kind of scrolling around last night already. I was looking at CBS Sports online, and they had 5 most likely landing spots for Matt Stafford. And they had Washington, Indy, San Francisco, New England, and Denver. So there is a link there. People see it as well as we do. All right, we'll get your thoughts on that. RamosLive.com text line 303-713-1043. Up next, Morning Brew. And what we learned yesterday, in the age of Mahomes, how you have to coach and why a couple of coaches came up woefully short. That's next.
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat like me, and you're gonna crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Mahomes with Williams in at running back. They're going to fake the... A shovel inside to Kelsey, and he leaps and dives. Touchdown! Kansas City, a wrinkle, a new wrinkle to Kelsey. Zeus drinks from the sweet nectar of the end zone on a shovel pass, and the Chiefs have their biggest lead of the game.
Ugh. You know, just when you're trying to embrace the idea that the Chiefs, you respect them, you might even admire them, then you hear a call like that. You're like, ugh, God. Nate Jackson in for us, birthday boy stink today. All right, so Kansas City gets it done. What, was there ever any doubt for you? Or was it once Mahomes trotted on the field, you knew this? And they fell behind early, by the way. I mean, they're down 9-0 at one point.
Yeah, I actually thought the Buffalo Bills had a chance going into the game. But as the game wore on, it became clear that they can't out-Chiefs the Chiefs. And you know, their lack of running game, to me, really, really held them back. Because the one team to beat them, the Raiders this year, did so with just pounding the ball. And you, if you want to go throw for throw with the Chiefs, you're going to lose.
Yeah. And boy, Kelsey and Hill.
So good.
You were a pass catcher in this league. How do you explain the connection that both those guys seem to have with Mahomes?
Well, it's a lot of practice, a lot of offseason, just throwing catch. They obviously are very comfortable with the system. The offense, Eric Bieniemy is a very good communicator. They're all on the same page. They have freedom with their routes to be able to find the open spots, and Patrick Mahomes can feel that. You know, when there's a strong connection between a receiver and a quarterback, the quarterback feels what you're going to do. He knows your tendencies, and he knows where to put that ball. And then these guys are just really dynamic route runners, have very good hands, very good field awareness. Of course, Kelsey and Tyreek Hill are opposite players, but they're both dynamic in their own way, and that two-headed monster is just really hard to stop.
Is that Chiefs defense better than you thought it was?
Yeah, I mean, well, they did the same thing last year. Remember, they had a kind of a rough first half of their season, and then they figured it out on the back half and were very strong in the back half of the season in the playoffs. I see them doing the same thing this year, and, you know, so no, I think this Chiefs' defense is really solid.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Brady to throw, throws a deep pass downfield. Got Scotty Miller in the open. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Scotty Scooter Miller. And Brady puts it right on the spot. Bucks score with no time left or very little in the first half.
Bucks radio, hot. How do you allow that to happen? How, in that situation, do you allow a guy to get behind you like that?
You lay your guard down. You don't think Scotty Miller's getting the ball because he hasn't got the ball yet. You're focusing on Mike Evans, and then, pew, gets right behind you. Yeah, that's unforgivable, but it's the type of thing where Tom Brady uses the entire field and every single man on his roster to make the right play at the right time, and Scotty Miller's a super fast kid, man. He got behind that guy. Kudos to them for making that play.
You know, for all the grief we justifiably give Vic Fangio for his game management, boy, did Matt LaFleur and Sean McDermott just show that they weren't ready for a championship moment, because their decisions to go for field goals were crushing. Everyone's making such a huge deal about the LaFleur decision, and it's worthwhile. It was the decision to go for the field goal to make it to 31-26.
Yeah.
With the idea that he'd be able to get the ball back. He never got the ball back.
And you got to score a touchdown anyway.
So it was a terrible call. I'd say the same thing about McDermott when he chose to kick the field goal to make it 21-12 at the end of the first half.
Mm. What yard line were they on there?
They were facing, it would have been, it was a 20-yard field goal.
Yeah.
So they were down around the 2 or 3.
Yeah.
You got to go for it, because Kansas City's getting the ball to come out to start the second half. And you just have to know in those situations, matching field goals for touchdowns is going to get me beat.
Yeah.
And it's a mindset you have to have. And when it came time, they were both too conservative. And part of the reason, it was not the sole reason why they lost. But it just goes to show that when you're in those situations, it's not only a mindset, Nate, but it's also analytically it's the right call.
And do you think they're looking at the analytics for that stuff? I mean, I think
if they're looking at the analytics, they go for it.
I guess, do you think they pay attention to analytics at all? Do you
yes.
think they study that
yes,
stuff?
I do.
Spend time? Do you
especially
think there's
the,
an analytics
especially
guy?
The younger guys, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, those two coaches were all year long in a conversation about Coach of the Year. They had great seasons. And so it makes you feel a little bit better about Vic Fangio, right? Okay.
No.
All right.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You don't get away with being inactive in this business, and that's the way it is. So I'll take me licks. I'm gutted, man, John. To be honest, I'm good. I put so much work in. You know, well done, Dustin. Right, well, one of them, good man. It's a tough one to swallow. I put in a lot of work. I'm proud of my work. You know, I would have liked to represent my team a bit better. We'll get to go again, and that's it. I'm going to go home to my kids and just, you know, in the hotel and just chill for a bit and regroup, and that's it.
Conor McGregor got his butt kicked. Dustin Poirier knocked him out in the second round. And I enjoyed seeing that. I really did.
Did you watch it?
No. The build-up to the fight was such that it was all McGregor. It's like you didn't even know that the other guy existed.
Yep.
And to see him get his butt kicked like that with all the hype that was surrounding him and ESPN and the constant McGregor hype, and then to have him go out and get his butt kicked like that, I don't know. I kind of enjoyed seeing that. The guy needs to fight. You can't. He's only had a couple fights in the last couple of years. He's got to start fighting more. But for all the hype that surrounds this guy, I felt bad for the other guy. Felt bad for Poirier leading up to the fight. Like, who is this guy? And for him to win like that and convincing like that, good for him.
But Poirier probably internalized that and probably used that as motivation.
Of course.
And so I wouldn't mind being in the shadows while the loudmouth, you know, Irishman barks about how great he is. That's part of his brand, Conor McGregor. He became a superstar not just by, you know, beating people up in the octagon, but just talking crap.
Right. So don't you like to see the big mouth get shut up like that?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Right, exactly.
And I have a problem with a guy who's 150 pounds talking about how he's the baddest man on the planet. He's just not.
Oh, he's bad. He's bad.
He's bad-ish.
He's pretty bad. Even at 150, he's pretty bad.
I can take him.
Okay. Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, I mean, we're a team that still needs to outwork our opponents. I felt like we still did that tonight. They had some good bounces that went in for them, and unfortunately for us, we just had no luck tonight, and whether it was goalpost or whatnot. But I think as an overall effort as a team, I think we're happy. But obviously, it's a loss. We don't want to lose, and we're going to come back stronger. And it's just the building block in this game, and it's still going to be a fun one.
Yeah, there's Cale Makar of the Avalanche, who dropped to an uninspiring 3-3 to start the season as they lose to Anaheim 3-1. One of those games where, as you just heard him say, they definitely controlled the play. They outshot Anaheim 33-14 in this game, but they end up losing. Did you ever play on a team with super, super high expectations? Going in, I mean, like basically Super Bowl or bust.
Boy, every year I played for the Broncos.
Yeah.
That internally, that's how it was.
And that's how it was sent. The message was sent.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but did you ever feel like you really had a Super Bowl team?
Yeah.
Really?
2005, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, so then if you got an Avalanche team where it is Stanley Cup or bust. So 3-3, not that great, but. Could you see why, at least around that room, they're all kind of like, yeah, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
We'll flip the switch. It's early, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 3-3, it's very early. Like you said, they outshot them 33-14. Seems like they were, you know, dominating. Just couldn't get it in the net. And that happens sometimes.
It does happen sometimes. It is that's what makes hockey so unique is that you can control any other sport. You control the pace of play and territorially you control the game. It shows up on the scoreboard, not always in hockey. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat will join us, usually with a negative view on things, a realistically negative view on things. How does he feel about the idea of pursuing Matthew Stafford? We'll hear from James next. Nate Jackson in for Mark Schlereth, birthday boy Mark Schlereth, who's off today. James Merrillat joins us from 104.3thefan.com on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Is this a nightmare scenario for Broncos country to have to watch Mahomes in Kansas City against Brady in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I mean, it makes it to where you pick your poison, right? Who do you want to root for, the arch rivals or the guy who's kind of been under your skin for 20 years? That makes it pretty tough. It really, other than Green Bay, though, if Buffalo goes, you have to watch Josh Allen and continue to, you know, experience that pain of passing on him back in 2018 and taking Bradley Chubb. So it's set up, you know, championship weekend set up to be disappointing results for the Broncos almost no matter what way it went. But, yeah, the Chiefs and the Bucks, Mahomes and Brady, that's a tough choice to make in 2 weeks.
What'd you think about Josh Allen's performance yesterday? I know we talked a lot about Josh Allen all year long and comparing him to our situation here. How do you think he performed in the bright lights?
You know, I thought he was fine. He just couldn't get any protection. I mean, his offensive line just didn't show up. He was under siege seemingly on every play. Every time he took a snap and there was somebody in his face. So I thought he showed, you know, ability to escape pressure, make some throws on the move, run the football, all the things he's done, you know, throughout his 3 years, but he just didn't get much help. So I, you know, was he great? No, not by any means. But I don't think he was the biggest problem. I don't think he was even close. I think his offensive line, totally let him down. There were a series of things that were problems for the Bills yesterday, but Josh Allen was way, way down the list if he even made it at all.
Okay, that's – come on, Jays. So all year long, he's an MVP candidate. People are gushing. He's the one that got away, all this, all that, and then the one day it doesn't go well, it's somebody else's fault?
Well, I'm not saying it's totally somebody else's fault, but Mike, they didn't block anybody. Like he would take the snap and there'd be a guy in his face. Well, like, what's he supposed to do?
He's Mr. Mobility. He's got athleticism, run away, make plays like a guy like Mahomes does.
I'll bet if you looked at the next gen stats, he ran 6 miles yesterday. Uh-huh. I mean, the guy was moving constantly. I don't know. If you're not going to get any protection at all, I'm not sure how successful you're going to be. I thought he played fine. I really did. He didn't look like a deer in the headlights. He didn't look like the moment was too big for him. I mean, I guess he could have been Houdini and been had the greatest performance by a quarterback, in history. Yes, he could have done that and he didn't. So I guess we can throw rocks at him.
All right. Okay. I just want to make sure we establish the rules that if you're a Josh Allen guy, when, everything goes well, it's all Josh Allen. But when it doesn't go well, it's somebody else's fault. Okay. Good that we established that.
Sure.
All right. How do you feel about Matthew Stafford? What should the Broncos do, if anything, to get this guy?
I would go all in on trying to get Matthew Stafford. I think now this is going to sound like my Josh Allen excuse because, you know, I get it. The quarterback is supposed to lift all boats and, you know, the Lions haven't had a lot of successful seasons while he's been there. I think getting the Lions in as big of a dumpster fire as that franchise is to the postseason 3 different times with the coaches they've hired and the players they've brought in, I think is a minor miracle. I think Matthew Stafford's really, really good. I think he brings everything you want. Obviously, he's got the physical tools. The guy can spin it. He's tough as nails. He's clutch. He leads a lot of comebacks for a team that's not particularly good. Look at what was around him this year. When he didn't play in that Buccaneers game late in the year, that was 40-7, and it could have been 65-0. I mean, it was a total mismatch when he left the game really, really early. So I think Matthew Stafford's a very good quarterback. I think he would make this team much better. I'd give up a couple of ones for him. I really would, because I don't think there's anybody they're going to take at 9. And then there's nobody they're going to get next year in the 20s that is going to make that big a difference. Because look back when the Broncos got 2 number 1s for Jay Cutler. And everybody was all excited telling me, look what it's going to do. Well, it turned into Robert Ayers and Alphonso Smith. So, you know, those picks, everybody falls in love with draft picks. But half of them at least turn out to be flops. I'll take the known commodity, especially at the most important position in sports, all day long.
So what happens if Matthew Stafford doesn't come here? What other free agent quarterbacks do you think would help this roster?
I don't know that any of them that are going to be free agents would.
Or trades. Yeah.
I think unless it's a major upgrade from Drew Locke, and that's, you know, Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson, or it's one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the draft, I just stand pat. I think the notion of bringing in quote-unquote competition is overrated. I think if you have to bring in competition for your quarterback, then you have the answer about your quarterback and just move on, right? The Titans should have done that prior to the 2019 season when they brought in Tannehill to compete with Mariota. They knew that Mariota wasn't the guy. They should have moved on then and not wasted the first 6 weeks of the season, gone 2-4. Maybe they would have played the AFC title game at home instead of on the road. So, unless it's a major upgrade from Drew Lock, I continue to build upon what he can do. I think Drew Lock has shown at times that he can really play the position at a high level. Now, he's all over the board. He's way too inconsistent. But I have no interest in Andy Dalton and Ryan Fitzpatrick and guys like that. That's a HOV lane to nowhere.
So why are you against the idea of any kind of competition? I mean, so you feel like it's either you go 100% in with Drew Lock, Drew, don't look over your shoulder, it's yours, or you just go off in an entirely different direction and start over. What's wrong with some kind of competition, especially if it's a veteran competition?
I just believe if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. I believe a guy like Vic Fangio, who's battling for his job, is going to desperately try to go 9-7 and, play Ryan Fitzpatrick. And where's that going? There's no end game. There's no result that, like, okay, yeah, now they're a contender because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. You're much better off to continue to develop your young quarterback, put him in tough spots, have him overcome having a bad game and having to bounce back the next week. It's just, I don't see the point of playing an Andy Dalton type guy and going 9-7. 9-7 is not the ultimate goal. You're trying to build something that eventually can be 11-5, 12-4 and be a legit contender. That kind of a quarterback doesn't get you there. And I don't think the problem this year was Drew Lock just wasn't being pushed and he didn't have anybody, he wasn't looking over his shoulder and thinking he might get benched. That wasn't the problem this year. I think Drew Lock works hard. I think he plays hard. I think he studies. He's not Paxton Lynch. So I just think it's unnecessary. And I think it gives Vic Fangio a safety net that, quite frankly, I don't want to give him.
All right. We got a busy week at 1043thefan.com. James taking control of all of that there. James, thank you.
You bet, fellas. Thanks a lot.
All right, James. James Merrillat, join us there on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Here's where I disagree with him, about the idea that if you're bringing in any kind of competition, then what are you really doing? I get the idea of giving Locke every opportunity to really jump up this next year and let him prove that all of this excuse, I guess, making was correct, that he didn't have an off season, continuity, 2020, all of that. Let him prove that that was legit. But you still have to have, I think, some sort of safety net if he can't do it. And if you bring in a Fitzpatrick or a Dalton with the understanding you are going to have a chance to compete for the starting job, but if you get beat out, we want you to slide into that mentor role. Well, now you've created a situation where if Locke beats out the guy, great. But if he doesn't beat out the guy, you still have a season to play. And you still have to have somebody, a quarterback, that gives you a chance to win with the understanding that, okay, if you bring in a Fitzpatrick or a Dalton and they end up beating out Locke, you've probably learned all you need to know about Locke. And then after this year, you can start all over again at the quarterback position. But if you're gonna hold on to the idea that you think that Locke can make a jump in year three, I still think you have to have a safety net. I just don't think you can go into this whole thing with just saying, hey, it's your job, don't worry about it, there's nobody behind you.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think it would help Drew Lock to have a veteran guy in there, even if Drew Lock beats the guy out, to have someone who's been around, who's seen NFL defenses, who knows what to expect, has a cool head, and can help Drew Lock learn. But I also think competition is good at every position. Like, they're always bringing in guys to replace you, no matter what. Young, hungry, healthy players who could be better than you. So go ahead and beat them out. That brings out the best in everyone.
By the way, did James kind of smear Paxton Lynch? Did that, Benny, you're usually the final judge and jury on this. All right. Congratulations to James Merrillat for extending the Paxton Lynch smear campaign, huh? Day number 21, 23. It marches on. Coming up, what is Nate's blueprint for how the Broncos should be able to be built to beat the Chiefs?
Oh, that seems like so far away.
Easy.
How is... Oh, easy, he says.
Yeah, all right, piece of cake.
Child, please. We'll find out how easy next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Silt to Heart Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Silt to Heart with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Silt to Heart Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.